הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה ונשמחה. הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה ונשמחה. הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה ונשמחה. הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה ונשמחה. אורו אחים, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים, אורו אחים בלב שמח. Hello everybody, this is Judge Eve, and the song was by yours truly, not the greatest, but in Hebrew it means come on, let's be happy. And I'm very blessed today to have Greg and Dee Dee Hayslip. He's an ex-gay, as he calls himself, and a minister. And it sounds like they both literally did an Abraham and what Jesus told his disciples to do, left everything behind to follow the Lord. Amazing, amazing stories. And what's special for me, how God times everything. This week, there was on the news items about gay suing organizations and doctors who allegedly tried to help them overcome that lifestyle and didn't succeed, and how they have been harmed by it. So we're going to hear from somebody who has succeeded. Praise God. And Lord, we humble ourselves before you today. We thank you and praise you. You said whenever two or three of us shall agree as touching anything, it shall be done for us. We thank you for the favor on this show. And let the meditation of our hearts and the words of our mouth be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord Jesus. Amen. And Doug, I keep calling Doug, he's our manager for the show, I'm sorry. Greg and Dee Dee, would you please say hi so people will hear who you are? Go ahead.
Hi. Greg. Hello, how are you?
Hello, we're happy to be with you today.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. And Greg, tell us a little bit. I want you to tell us about your background, how you left your business and what you did, and then I have some questions to go before that time. You're now a minister. Is that what you're doing now?
I am. My wife and I are full-time ministers, evangelists, proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ and enforce that you can be set free from homosexuality.
Praise God.
I'm a prime proof of that. And I've been out of the lifestyle now for 7 years.
My birthday
was November 26th, 2012. I was, or 2005 actually, and 7 years later, I'm still standing for the Lord.
Praise God. Let me ask you something. You were married before you went into the homosexual lifestyle, right?
That's correct. I was married for 15 and a half years. I had two grown children. They weren't grown at that time, but... And I also had two grandchildren as well.
Okay, let me ask you, I'm having a little hard time hearing everything you say, so would you kindly speak a little louder if you would? Okay.
I will.
Yeah, my understanding, because I used to represent people in Hollywood, and I studied the subject extensively then from a non-spiritual point of view, and it, you know, there are many, many reasons why people go into that lifestyle, and I believe, of course, it's Satan who is attracting them into it. Do you think you were homosexual or gay before you got married the first time, or is it a lifestyle you chose to follow somehow later?
It was a lifestyle I chose to follow. However, we were all born into sin. And so whatever that sin might be, it certainly had an effect on my life later on in life.
Right.
But it was a path I chose. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it for me. Whether I was born gay or not is
That's
totally
what I'm
irrelevant saying. To me. I chose the lifestyle.
When you were first married, did you feel attraction to other men, or you felt that you were normal and, you know, you loved women just as God tells us to do?
Now, that's a very good question, and the answer is I did feel an attraction to men.
You did?
I had gotten into pornography, unfortunately, shortly after I got married.
Yeah,
and even actually before that, but I loved my wife. I loved her very much, my first wife. And for me, the pressures of life, and I was actually a minister in a church.
Even then, even at that time.
even at that time, I was a Christian then. I hadn't gone into the lifestyle at that time. But before I went into the lifestyle, I was a minister in a denomination.
Yes.
And I was a minister of music and youth. And the pressures of that, being in being in ministry in a church, is can be very outrageous, especially when the demands are so high and they expect you to be perfect. And I can't be. And all that combined had an impact on my life in that. And so that in 1995, actually at the end of 1994, is when I told my wife that I no longer wanted to be her husband.
Wow. You know what you're saying. You know, let me just first say, if people want to call in, and you're welcome to call in. It's 1-888-627-6008. Let me repeat, 888-627-6008. And also, I wanted to give Greg's and I'm sorry, everybody's name sounds so similar. Greg's and Dee Dee's website where you can contact them, and they could use any blessing you can give them. They're expecting a baby in a month. And I sure would love for you people to support them. The website is HTTP, I'm not too good with computers, so :// www.greggreggbride.wix.com/free. Let me repeat it without giving the way to say it. http://www.sgaygregbride.wix.com/free. www.sgaygregbride.wix.com/free. And later I'll find out what W-I-X means, because I don't know what it means. But you know, Greg, you brought up something very interesting. Satan is alive and well on the earth like never before. I noticed that you... Right? I mean, God has shown it to me personally on Christmas Day 1989. And what I see now, more and more people are aware of deliverance, aware of having to know the wiles of the enemy, because we cannot give him any place, as we're told. And what you're saying, which pornography does, it's a doorway for the enemy to come in into our spirits. Do you feel that's in part what happened to you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, what you allow yourself to look at is going to affect your life. I mean,
there
even the TV
go.
Programs that we watch have an impact on our lives. And certainly me flipping through magazines at that time and later on into porn on the Internet, I mean, that has a profound effect on your life. I mean, you're just sitting there looking at that stuff over and over again.
Yeah.
And I know for me, as a married man at that time, I would feel guilty like so many people do, that I felt guilty, and I would throw them away, the magazines, and I would repent. And the next thing you know, I'd either find those magazines or I'd pick up more. And it was quite an addiction. I mean,
An addiction, right? That's exactly what it was.
Addiction.
So, you know, what made you finally, what was the incident which made you say to your former wife that said, I'm leaving you, and I'm going to this, if you told her that you were going to this other lifestyle?
The summer of 1994, I just gave up. I gave in to the devil. The devil had been telling me all for a while, Greg, your family would be so much better off without you. Now, mind you, I was a good husband.
Yeah.
I was a good father. I wasn't a great provider, though. And the devil used that effectively against me. In fact, I was asked to leave one of the churches that I was ministering, and right around that same time, and that had a tremendous impact on my life. My self-esteem went down the toilet.
Did they know about what you were doing at your home privately, or was it just an independent?
Oh
event?
No, that had nothing to do with it. No, it was just sin had crept into my life, and they noticed it and decided that they needed to not have me as their minister anymore, minister of music. That's the bottom line. I mean, it was just sin. I had allowed the devil to. I started listening to the devil. Of all things, I started listening to the devil and taking everything that he said as being factual.
And being more important than what God says, in effect.
Exactly.
Right?
That's exactly what I did. And on November 7th, 1994, in the evening, I approached my wife. We had gone into the bedroom, And I told her that I no longer wanted to be married to her. And in essence, and well, it's not even just essence, it's a fact, I divorced my family that night.
Oh,
and,
my goodness.
And it was a horrible, horrible thing that I did.
Yes.
And yet God is so gracious that even though the devil would love to make me feel guilty for what I've done, I don't. I have repented, and the Lord has forgiven me. And even though it was a horrible, horrible thing that I did to my first family, I have no guilt whatsoever now. And that's the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
And you know what else, Rick?
I don't go around, I don't lay in bed at night just thinking, well, how awful I am, because I'm not. I am saved. I am redeemed. I am righteous. I am pure. I am holy. And I'm undefiled. No matter what I did in my past, Jesus
Amen.
Has set me free today.
Amen. And that's the beauty of knowing Jesus in our lives. But
Amen.
Also what I wanted to tell you, and I call God the master setup. You know, people think, oh, we have free will, free choice. You know, the only free choice we really have is either to follow God or not to follow him, because God
Amen.
Even uses evil for his purposes. I know that, you know, I'm a prophet myself. God really shows me inside people. He shows me the past, the future. And I know that God allowed you to go through that so you would know how to minister to other people who go through the same thing. Because if
I can agree more.
And I'm sure you've noticed, like you said, the TV, the movies, all they've been in the past so many years, 20 years now, is garbage, 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 making everything sound okay when it's not okay. And, you know, a picture is worth a thousand words, right? Like you said, the pictures attract, and you want to see more, and you want to see more. So God has to have raised people who had gone through this and can tell others you can come out of it. I think I mentioned to you in an email, you know, just this week, and I thought that was so interesting, on the news they were talking about gay people, gay men suing an organization. One is named Jonah. In fact, I've emailed them about the show today, J-O-N-A-H, a Jewish organization which tries to help, you know, gay people come out of the lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And doctors who apparently have promised to get them freed of it and have failed.
Ooh.
And these gay men claim that they've been injured because of that. Do you have
totally.
Any comment about that subject?
I don't know that much about it other than what I can say for myself is I didn't really go through that kind of a program at all. I didn't go through Exodus. There was a local chapter in the area that I lived in at that time. As I said, I came back to the Lord November 26, 2005.
Yes.
And I did get involved with them briefly. But I mean very briefly. I'm talking about maybe just a week or two. And I discovered that I really didn't need them. And I had such a made-up mind that I was done. I mean, I'm like, God, you've got to fix me. And he began to do just that. I have nothing against these organizations at all. I certainly would caution them to be careful about promising something. That's a little bit over the top. That
Very
would be my thought there, especially
when you say two
happy people.
Right.
You really would have to be careful. But I know personally that God can deliver us from anything. And
when you say
it goes back to your mindset. I mean, are you really wanting God to deliver you? Are you wanting to continue doing what you're doing, feel good about it in your sins? And that's not how the Bible works at all. You're either a sinner or you're not. And you can't have one foot in the world sinning and one foot saying you're a Christian. A lot of people do today.
Exactly.
And I'm very sad for them because the Bible is very clear also that you can't straddle in it. You can't be in the middle of anything.
Right.
It's going one way or the other. There are, I mean, the Bible is full of absolutes, and people hate
exactly.
that, I know. But it is an absolute scripture, and
there
that's,
is
what
a
I, that's what I really have to say concerning the you know, like Exodus and this Jonah. Jonah,
yes.
Is that what you said, Jonah?
Jonah. And what is Exodus? I've not heard of that one before.
Oh, it's another, it's an international they say that they can, or they have said in the past that they can help people to come out of the lifestyle. How unfortunately,
yes.
the current president this past summer identified that really he couldn't do that, and it was
really
disappointing.
Is it a Christian group?
The bottom line
know?
Is the devil is really attacking viciously concerning the gay life choice. And that's
exactly.
really what I call it, because it is a choice.
This is what I've always felt.
So he's using any situation he can, even those who are trying to do the right thing.
With these groups
that are trying to help them to come out of lifestyle, he'll even affect them, and apparently he's doing that right now.
We really have to guard our hearts.
I mean, really guard our hearts. So, again, I'm not casting any stone or dispersion for any of these groups. I will continue to lift them up in prayer.
Is Exodus a Jewish group or Christian group or none?
It's a Christian group. It's a Christian-based group. It's been around a while now.
Okay. You know, what you say is what I know, that people make a choice. They get so attracted or addicted to try something else. You know, the way Satan works, the way I see him, I'm a spiritual warrior as well. He'll get people to do whatever it takes to only be involved in their physical gratifications, because then they don't go to spiritual things. Did you feel, looking back now, that this is what happened to you at the time you were engaged in that lifestyle? Hello?
I missed your question. I'm sorry.
Okay. I'm saying, you know, Satan makes sure that people stay in their physical, selfish enjoyments. You know, he wants to give instant gratification or tells people they should have that. By doing that, he keeps them away from their spiritual development. Do you feel that this is what happened to you, that when you engage in that lifestyle, you could care less about spiritual things?
Absolutely. I became such a selfish man. I mean, my first wife didn't even know me. I had become some strange person. And when I look back on it now, I can't believe the actions that I began to take on, the persona that, that developed. I mean, it was all self-motivated, every bit of it. I mean, it was...
You became...
I left my first wife and my two... My oldest son at that time had just turned 13. He was just about to turn 13. And my youngest would have been five. And
wow.
So we're talking two young kids, very impressionable. And so certainly I was a selfish, awful individual at that time. Being self-motivated, the devil is that. The more selfish we are, the more the devil has control of our life.
It's the other way around, though, too. He makes us more selfish with these attractions, you know, with these things that take us away from God, and then he sends his demons to oppress us or even possess us. I think because you had been saved before, you were never possessed. You were just oppressed, and you gave in to that lifestyle. But again, God allowed you to do this. You know, before I go any further with you, I'd like Dee Dee to give a little bit of her story. And Dee Dee, how long before going to how Greg got saved and again and delivered, how long have you and Greg known each other now?
From day one till now, we've known each other, excuse me, Judge, since October 31st of 2010.
Wow, so about a little over two years.
Yes, ma'am.
And tell us, please, a little bit about your life story. I was really amazed at what you would have to give up. You said you were a Christian as a little girl, but really committed your life to the Lord at the age of 16?
Yes, ma'am.
And then
I had. My mother was a single mom until I was 10. And she became a Christian shortly after I was born. And so when my parents met, I was 10 years old, and my dad adopted me. My mother's natural child, and he adopted me.
Yes.
And he joined the U.S. Air Force. And so from the age of 10 till maturity, which is hardly maturity at all, 18, 20 years old, I was under their guardianship, and we traveled all over because of the military and getting assigned to different places, and we would go to different churches. And when we lived in Texas, I was 16, even when I was a Holy Ghost Spirit-filled Christian, at 16, some acquaintances from church in my peer group had attracted me to pornography movies.
You're kidding. See, you went through a very parallel life to that of Greg's. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing.
It is amazing. I mean, the Lord certainly prepares you for even things that the enemy means for evil. He will still turn it to good.
Well, he has to do
God
that.
Because he's God, and he's able to do that.
And you know why?
So
because if,
mean,
if, yes. I was going to say, if you don't experience whatever it is you go through, you cannot really help anybody else. They don't believe you. They don't.
That's exactly right.
Yes. So what did that cause you to do, watching those kind of movies?
Well, it certainly made me addicted to even more to masturbation. It always had an affection to my mind, and sex is all I wanted to think about.
Wow.
And
here
yet,
again,
I loved
addiction.
The Lord.
Yes, but an addiction crept in, and here we go again. Satan got a foothold in you and was able to oppress you with the demons that would cause that. So go ahead, please. So then it sounds like you married out of what seemed to be the right thing because you were raised in that.
That's true. That's true. So my father and mother introduced me to who was going to become my first husband.
I see.
And there were many traits about my father that were very similar to my husband. And
And
ladies need to know this. The man that you see your dad or an absentee dad even, having an example of not having a dad or having a dad with personal struggles with pornography will most assuredly, even if you don't know it, it will play a factor in who you choose for a husband.
You know what else I'm thinking, Dee Dee? Could it be that you turn to pornography because often, you know, young kids especially mistake it for love? And because I do a lot of inner healing, and because you were deprived of the love of your real father, that was a way of compensating for the loss of his love, is what I feel. But go ahead, please. So you married this gentleman who was also Air Force officer?
That's right.
And he pretended to be a Christian, because so many people today pretend to be Christians. And not
yes,
not
ma'am.
Good heavens.
I did. I pretended to be a Christian.
Well, you thought you were. Yes.
I loved the Lord, and yet I did exactly what Greg said happens to a lot of believers, where you have one foot in the world.
Yes.
And I wasn't addicted to pornography. That just opened up the addiction to thinking about it.
Exactly.
I never went out and bought movies or magazines. However, it still manifested itself in my mind.
Yes.
And the addiction went more towards physical stimulation. And and so I would go to church. I was involved in church. I loved my church family. I loved the Lord. And I loved my husband. And yet at the same time, I loved thinking about sex.
Other things, right?
All the time.
Yes.
And
unbelievable.
My husband at the time was also addicted to pornography through the internet.
Were you in it together, Dee Dee? Were you watching it together? Did you know about each other's addiction to that?
I knew that my first husband was addicted when I started finding things on the computer that I know I didn't put on the computer.
but, so you didn't do it together.
There were a couple of times where we engaged together in watching porn on the computer and looking at pictures and whatnot. But
may I
was never addicted to. I'm sorry?
Yeah. May I disrupt you for a minute? Because you know how many Christian couples nowadays say they watch pornography together, allegedly to improve their sex life. And to me, that is Pardon me? The what? What, Greg?
I need to say this. This is so key.
Yes.
If a Christian couple asks the Lord to be involved in their intimate life, they won't need porn.
Amen.
If they invite him into the wedding chamber and the bedroom, because he is everywhere. Whether you invite him or not, he is everywhere. But when you invite him into that sacred place that I get to experience with my amazing husband now, you don't need toys, you don't need magazines, you don't need the computer, you don't need anything like that to help stimulate your love life, because
that's
Jesus
wonderful.
Becomes the center of your intimacy.
I feel that this is something the two of you together need to teach all over the churches, all over the country,
it's
because
true.
We really have watered down spirituality anymore. We don't have the commitment that I saw in the 70s and 80s, you know, people just loving God. You know, the charismatic movement was so wonderful. And all I see now is people straying away from God in terrible, terrible ways. Before I let you continue, let me just say again, let me give your website, because Didi and Greg are expecting the baby, and they could use all the support that people can give them. And the website is greg.wix.com/free. So let me repeat it again. http://www.xgaygregbride.wix.com/free. And if you all feel led in your heart to make even small contributions to them, you can get on their website and get the information how to make those contributions. They're on, you're on Facebook, and you say, Didi, what else are you on?
YouTube.
Okay. So people can contact you through all those methods, right?
You're listening.
All of these different addresses are also on our website. So if you go to our website, our YouTube video address is there. The blog site that I write is there. And so if you write down this one website, you'll be able to see everything that Judge Eve is talking about.
And also people can contact you for help or advice, how to overcome their difficulties, which we'll get to in a minute because we're going to take a short break very quickly. And then I'd like to hear from both of you, Greg and Didi, how you overcame the addiction and how you can think other people can do that and how you might be able to help them to do that. So we're going to take a quick break right now. Hello, this is Judge Eve Ellingwood, known also as Cohen Sternlight. I'm so glad to be on bbsradio.com every other Saturday, like this Saturday, June 2nd. I have a website, www.90210holocaust.com. That's HOLOCAUST.com. The story of my parents' murder in Beverly Hills by my brother and sister and the theft of their millions. I've written a couple of books, but one of them is available on the website as an e-book, Diary of Sovereign Faith in Action. Also, I am a prophet, I am a seer, and I am a healer, and if people are interested, I can set up appointments to help people for a fee, and it will depend on what's involved and what has to be done. And to reach me, you can reach me by my email, eejudgeeve79@gmail.com. That's E like elephant, E like elephant, J, U, D like David, G like George, E like elephant, V for victory, E like elephant, 79@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you and hearing what else you would like to hear on the show and what help you might need. Also, legally, especially for people who are unemployed, I can help. I cannot give specific advice, but I can help. Maybe also political issues and other legal issues and spiritual issues. Thank you. Look forward to hearing from you. Hello. I didn't realize we were going to hear the commercial. Are you there, Didi and Greg?
We are.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, you know, you hear my Hebrew accent, right?
Yes, it's beautiful.
Thank you. I forget that I have it. But anyway, what I am so touched, you know, God really shows me what he does with people, you know, and our lives are really determined before we're born, and especially for this end time, and God has shown me he's coming back in my lifetime, which could be any year. So there's a great need for ministry, and especially great need for deliverance and to get people walking the right way. So let's go back to Greg for a few minutes, if we may. So, Greg, what happened to cause you to leave that lifestyle? What was, like, a specific incident that made you want to do that?
I don't know if it was there was a specific incident. The Lord's awesome, and I just really got sick and tired of it. I really got sick and tired of the gay bar scene. I have been to, at that time, I had been to gay bars in Atlanta, in Orlando, in Fort Lauderdale. I had been to the Gay Riviera at Pensacola on Memorial Day weekend, where there's a couple hundred thousand gay people there. And
I did not know that. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been in a few places, and I've seen
what's going on.
You can only imagine. And place I lived was in Florida, in Jacksonville. So of course I went to the gay bar there. And so I've been to a lot of different gay bars, and I've seen a lot of garbage, and I really got sick of it. I got sick of the smell. The gay bar smell is horrible because there's so many people that smoke, and of course there's just other kind of drugs going on.
Oh my!
And the Lord really used that to my advantage.
Of course,
because I really did. I the person that I lived with and shared my life with for those 11 years, loved to go to gay bars. And he, at one point even was an avid cigarette smoker until he emphysema. There you go, emphysema.
Yes.
He got emphysema.
Yes.
So I lived with a smoker and all of that garbage. I was never a smoker, and even in the lifestyle, I only smoked some, but I shoot secondhand smoke. I mean, I smoked that a lot. You'd go home and your clothes were just they were just awful.
Greg, do you
and
realize
all that combined had just had it? That's really what impacted my life, and the Lord's really, he was just using that and saying, "Are you really happy with yourself?" And I had to tell him, "No, I wasn't."
And you see, not only that, but he protected your health. You're aware of that, right?
Yes, I am. I do not have HIV or AIDS.
Exactly what I was thinking.
I'm very thankful for that. There's no reason that I shouldn't, other than the Lord. I did enough stuff to know that should be a part of my life right now, and I'm very thankful that I don't. But I'm really just thankful that at that same time in 2005, I began to watch Christian programming, in particular. Rod Parsley was having a revival. Actually, it was a little bit later on, but he was having a revival. And that revival just set the tone for me. And I said, I want that. I mean, I watched the people praising the Lord. And and the Lord was, of course, at that time reminding me, Greg, you used to do this yourself, you know.
Oh, wow.
And how how happy you were.
Yes.
When you were praising me, and look how miserable you are now. I mean, at that time, I was on antidepressants.
Yes.
I had become suicidal from time to time. And,
and
so the life choice that I had made was not a happy one at all.
Yes,
now, the people in my choice will try and make you believe that they're happy. I mean, there's some that cut your hair, and they're your doctors and, you know, your lawyers and all kinds of people out there that are into the gay life
and
choice.
You know something? When I started hearing the word,
they sure do want to make you think they are.
And what I was going to say, when I started hearing homosexuality being called gay, I thought, they're not gay at all. They're miserable, you know? So they're trying to talk themselves into it. You know, God tells us to love the people, right? We're to love them. We just don't like
We love them right where they are.
Exactly.
And meet them right where they are. And bring the love of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
For us, it's by an example. Just by being who we are in Christ is the biggest example that we could be.
Exactly. And I was going to say, you said...
Never through hate. Because we don't hate anybody. How can you hate anybody and go to heaven?
We can't.
Yeah, Dave, I do want to mention this.
Yes.
my husband mentioned to me that when he was in the lifestyle, Mel Gibson's The Passion of the Christ came out.
Yes.
And he, I think it had been on TBN, so he was watching it on television.
Yes.
Still living with his
friend.
Friend.
Mm-hmm.
And he was crying like a baby watching The Passion.
Wow.
And his
you're making
his
me cry.
Was in the kitchen and knew not to enter the space where Greg was.
Wow.
Because I think that even the enemy can recognize when God is having his way in someone and
exactly.
knows not to intrude.
Because greater is he who's in us than he
Thank
that is
Lord.
In the world. And I don't care what people go through, the God in us can overcome anything.
That's exactly right.
And thank you for sharing that, because see, what you're sharing is how God is really involved in each of our lives, every tiny little second of that life, and especially each of us is here for a purpose, and it will be fulfilled, whether you have to carry us screaming and crying or doing it nicely, you know? And
that's right. He has had to deal with many of my hissy fits, as I say.
It doesn't help, does it?
Not one bit.
You know,
exactly.
I think I'm down to about 2 a year.
Oh, good. See, we're being made perfect. We're not there yet, right?
That's right. I certainly have not arrived by any stretch.
And that's what people need to know, those who have come to know Jesus and really made him Lord of their lives. We're not perfect. We're still human, but we're working on it. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, he helps us clear up whatever obstructions we have. You know, when I ministered, I did a lot of inner healing, and God showed me we're all damaged property. Ever since Adam and Eve, you know, we chose to do the wrong thing. So it either can be something that we've been hurt by, even though unconsciously, or genetic healing. And I've seen people transform in front of my eyes. And that's why I know I don't care who is in what lifestyle. I don't care if they're murderers and thieves. God can heal them and totally renew them. So
go ahead,
Greg, tell us when you got out of it, and then I'm going to hear from Dee Dee how she got out of it, and then how the two of you got together and how you're helping other people now. Go ahead, Greg. So that made you try to ask God to get you back to normal.
Well, it happened, like I said, and I keep bringing that date up as November 26, 2005.
Yes.
I didn't
yes.
know what the date was until this past November 26.
Yes.
I did not know exactly when it was that I came back to the Lord, and
wow.
yet the Lord revealed it to me just those few days ago. And of course, I sat in the chair, and I was just crying. I was so elated, and because that night on November 26th, I still went to bed in the same bed that the man that I was living with. You know, I still was cussing, and I probably looked like a sinner, and I was acting like a sinner. But yet on that night, God said, Greg, that's when you begin to walk towards me and away from sin.
I have goosebumps all over me. You know something?
I mean,
yeah.
And I love to walk towards the Lord.
Yes.
I have goosebumps, too. God is so good, and he's faithful.
And you know
and
something
because
else?
You were saying, how could God possibly think that you're a Christian when you're still acting like a sinner, but God looks at things so differently than we do.
Exactly.
I'm so glad that he does.
Exactly.
And he looked at my heart, and he said, this is somebody that's going somewhere, and I've continued walking towards him and away from that lifestyle. And eventually, of course, I left him, and it wasn't right away.
Yes.
It took a little while.
You know why? You didn't want to hurt his feelings is what I'm feeling. You were ready to go, but he really cared for you, and you didn't want to hurt his feelings.
Good point. That is a good point. It was like 22 months later, October 1st, 2007, that I actually moved out. But I had already moved out of his room. He had a three-bedroom, two-bath condo, and I had moved on the other side of the condo.
You know
something?
So we
were sleeping together.
But God loved him enough, too, because he let him be with you. And not
Amen.
Abandon him right away. So he will come to the Lord as well, if he hasn't already.
Amen. I'm looking forward to that day.
Oh,
I'm really excited about that.
And you know what? He'll be in ministry.
I also needed a healing myself as far as the damage that had occurred in all those decisions that I made, and the Lord gave me that time. You know, of course, during that time, the devil was trying to condemn
me.
How can you call yourself a Christian when you're still living here?
Yes.
And it didn't work, obviously.
Yes.
And I moved into my own place, and I lived there for 3 years.
But you know,
and
Greg,
can
I have you point out so people understand, how does Satan tempt? How do you know that the thoughts you have are either of God or of Satan or your own?
That's really an easy question to answer. It's how you spend time with the Lord. Are you spending time with the Lord? Are you reading your word? Are you on your face before the Lord and not just talking to him or at him? A lot of people talk at him. But are you actually listening to the Lord? Because he's wanting to talk to you, to us. And I got to tell you, Judge Eve, he talks to me all the time.
Praise
God. Because I want to hear him.
What
I have to say is not nearly as important as what he has to say.
Amen.
So I'm eager to hear from him. I mean, it's like, Lord, when you're not talking to me, what's going on? Have I done something, done something that you don't like? And but that doesn't happen very often because, I mean, he's eager to talk to us. He really has things that he wants to tell us.
But how do you know that the voice you hear is not Satan but God? Like you say, Satan kept tempting you. How did you know it was the voice of Satan?
My wife says she'd like to answer that.
Okay, go ahead, Dee Dee.
Your Honor, it doesn't take much to discern when you know Satan is talking to you versus when the Lord is talking to you. And here's the big difference. When the Lord talks to you, he'll probably ask you to do something that you really don't want to do.
It'll
rub against your grain, you won't want to do it.
Right.
The enemy, Satan, or Slipfoot, however you call him, he will always invite you in to do something that really comes easy to you. It really doesn't take work to sin. It doesn't.
You know,
but
something?
It does take work to live right.
You know, I think you should write a book about that. That is such an important point that you just made. Satan gives you the temptation to follow the easy way out, again, to give gratification right away, right? Instant gratification. Isn't that our society now? Instant meals, instant this, where God wants to build character. God, it's like a parent. You know, we discipline our kids because we want the best for them. If we don't love them, we wouldn't discipline them. That's what the Proverbs tells us. You know, so it's harder to follow the good things, but the reward is so great. Like you said, Greg, you don't want not to hear from God. It's awful. The separation from God is a terrible thing.
I don't like it at all.
But you see, you two are prophets because not everybody hears from God on such a continued basis. What would you say to people who are not in a prophetic calling? How can they know when they're following God or not?
Well, if you get into your Bible, everything that God says to you will be confirmed in the Bible.
Amen.
And so that's why it's so important as a believer, whether a new believer or someone that doesn't have the gift of prophecy, to be in your Word, because the Bible will always, always, always lead you to a better understanding of who the Lord is and who you can be in Christ if you'll walk that way.
Exactly.
But if someone else or if the enemy says something to you that you can't find supported in the Bible, then you need to know not to listen.
That's exactly the point. That's our instruction book. You know, it's like the manufacturer gave us an instruction manual. And we can either follow it and, right? We can either follow it and do okay and do great, or we don't have to follow it and suffer the consequences. And again, I have to find the verse, but you know, God uses evil for his purposes. Because even with Job, remember, was a good man, but Satan says,
that's
sure.
That's exactly right, yes.
Right? Sure, he's good. Yes. You give him everything he wants, you know? So even if we get tested, you know, it's for our own good to see what we're made of, you know?
Amen.
So let me jump up a little bit ahead. And again, I wanted to repeat your website. So you go ahead, Dee Dee, because you say it much better than I do. And let me just add one more little thing. You know, when I was giving my email on my ad, I used to say E like elephant, and I broke my ankle a few weeks ago, so my leg looked like an elephant. So now I say E like an eagle. So I wanted you to know. I wanted you to know that. You know, we're condemned by the words of our mouth, right?
That's true.
But go go ahead, Dee Dee. Please give your website. And again, I request people support them. Look at their ministry. They've given their lives over to the work of God. And let me add, too, Greg, you left your business. You left everything to follow Jesus. And with you, Dee Dee, what I was so touched by, how you went to Bible school, and then you found that the school granted the degree to two lesbians, so 2 weeks before graduation, you left the school. So the two of you really left everything in your lives. So you deserve to be helped by the people. Go ahead, please, Dee Dee, give your website.
Of course. It's www.x, the letter X, G-A-Y, G-R-E-G, bride, like here comes the bride, wix.com/free.
What does Wix stand for?
Wix doesn't stand for anything. Wix is a wonderful free online program where you can set up a website and there's no charge for it.
Oh, and see, you didn't need to say the HTTPs, right? It shows you what a great computer expert I am. But go ahead. You knew each other now about a little over 2 years. So what happened, Greg? You were led to be freed, really, November 26, 2005. Were you in ministry then? What did you do after you got back to the Lord?
No, I wasn't in ministry at all. I was not saved at church. I actually was saved at home watching Christian programming.
Yes.
And then I went to church, and the church embraced me for a time until the end of 2008, when the Lord had begun to talk to me about putting a sign on the back of my car that reads, "I used to be gay, but Jesus set me free."
I love that.
And that's on my back window today.
Yes.
This very day, but of course, doing that was freaky for me. I'm like, God, they're going to kill me.
Right.
And obviously, they haven't done that, but the church I was involved in at the time, it freaked them out.
Had they persecuted you? Have you been persecuted for that?
Oh, yes. We have been. Well, I was persecuted before I met my wife. The Lord led me down to South Florida to witness with that sign. Plus, I had Christian car flags. You know, like people have their sport team on a car flag. Well, these car flags read Jesus and Jesus Saved.
Oh.
And so I had those. We have those flying in the breeze now. But a few those back in 2009, actually 2010, I think it was. The Lord led me down to South Florida, very gay district, Miami, Fort Lauderdale.
Really?
There's a place called Wilton Manors, and that's just a totally gay area. And also, what's the island?
Also Florida, Bahamas?
Key West. And I went down there by myself with that sign on the back of my car that reads, "I used to be gay, but Jesus set me free." And during that whole time, no one bothered me. And I walked. I mean, I also have T-shirts that read, "I used to be gay, but Jesus set me free."
Yes.
Because oftentimes you can't speak. It's just not conducive to speak. But you can let something on your clothes be a ministry. And believe me, they have. And
can you sell those T-shirts? Can you like bumper stickers maybe saying those things?
I think that'd be an awesome idea. Given us the resources to be able to manufacture all or to have those done yet, but I would love to do that. That's a great idea.
Yes, I have some
great
people
idea.
Who have factory in Mexico where they do silk printing and back printing. I may mention it to them, but I don't know how much it would cost. So again, people, you need to support Greg and Dee Dee. Hey, Slip.
We're out there on the road. Last year, in fact, we were on the road all the time. I left, as you said, I left everything to witness. We neither one have jobs. We're actually living with my parents right now, and they are they have been gracious to allow us to stay in their home with, and we're not supporting, you know, we're not supporting this situation at all. They are truly helping us out, and we thank the Lord for them. But every chance we get, with any money that we get, we go out on the road and we witness. That's our number one goal. We just the other day we sat at McDonald's. They have free Wi-Fi. And so I have a jacket that I had embroidered on it. And, of course it costs to embroider stuff. And I have on that jacket, I used to be gay, but Jesus set me free. What a way to witness. We walked in malls, expensive malls, wearing our ministry clothes. And, of course, traveled up and down Interstate 95 extensively.
You live in Florida? Are you in the Florida area, or you just go anywhere, any state?
We have been. Now, this year we haven't done as nearly as much. The Lord has had us rest. Of course, my wife is pregnant, and that's certainly by God's design.
Absolutely.
That's
it's
another
miracle. Testimony.
I had a vasectomy after my last son was born back in 1989.
You know what God is saying?
God could cause this to happen.
Like with Abraham, he renewed your body. You know, and it's definitely, this baby is very special, by the way. He's going to minister with you from the beginning.
Amen.
So you pay attention to that child.
Praise the Lord.
You know, before I forget, because we only have only a few minutes left, and I know that you two met, and you knew right away, Bibi, that you were to marry Greg, but I'd like you to repeat your website again where people can help you, and also what message do you two feel that you really want to impart to the people today?
Of course, Your Honor, our website is www.gaygregbride.wix.com/free.
Thank you.
And
what
the message that we most want to convey is no matter where you are in your life right now, no matter what you might be struggling with, Jesus has made a way for you to be free.
Amen.
Whether it's an addiction of cussing or pornography or even Facebook. I know people addicted to Facebook. It doesn't matter. Jesus can set you free. And for some, it might be overnight deliverance. And for others, it might take more time. However, this is what my husband says so beautifully. As long as you're walking towards the Lord,
amen,
that is the most important key that you know you're on the right road.
Amen.
Get into your word, spend time with the Lord. And and we are always available to receive emails, and we love giving guidance, and we love praying for people. It's a passion of ours. I love to intercede.
And you'd like to minister, again, with the baby and all, you'd be able to go to minister in different churches or women's groups?
Of course.
Yes. Yes,
of course. The Lord has prepared us for a life on the road. He has, emotionally and spiritually.
Amen.
So no matter where you're at now in your life, Jesus can set you free. And just take each day to walk closer to Him, walk towards Him.
Amen. God bless you both. You're making me cry. But I thank you both.
God bless you.
May I add just this one thing more?
Yes.
Just yesterday I had a Skype call with a person who used to be a lesbian. And we spent a little time on the phone, at least 30 minutes, and I was able to witness to her and help her. She was struggling with some things. And I thank the Lord for those opportunities, and I am looking forward to a lot more of those.
Amen. And
we'd love to help people.
Yes, and you'll be traveling with a baby, so be ready.
The Lord has prepared us for that. We're excited about that.
You're a blessing to me and everybody out there. Please, please, please support Greg and Bibi and their new little one. And again, I'll repeat the website because Bibi does it so much better, but I'll try. www.gaygregbride.wix.com/free. F-R-E-E.
You God did it bless. Marvelously.
Oh, thank you. Finally learned, right? I love you both in the Lord. God bless you.
Love
You're
you
making
too.
Me cry, and I know that the anointing is so heavy on the two of you, and continue
Hallelujah.
To be blessed. Continue to be blessed. Have a great, great Thanksgiving. I mean, Christmas. I'm thankful. You know, your testimony really is around Thanksgiving. So have
it's
a great,
amen.
Right? Have be blessed. Have a blessed Christmas this year and blessed ministry. And God bless you both and the baby.
Amen.
Have a blessed day. Thank you. Evenu shalom alechem, Evenu shalom alechem, Evenu shalom alechem, Evenu shalom, shalom, shalom alechem, Evenu shalom alechem, Evenu shalom alechem, Evenu shalom alechem, Evenu shalom, shalom, shalom alechem. Evenu shalom, shalom, shalom aleichem.